Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. As the oldest settlement in Holmes County and established on the highest spot in the county, over 1,200 feet, Berlin has long been a beacon in our little corner of the world. It was originally a tract of government-owned military land when John Swigert bought it in 1812 and divided it into lots. In 1818, a school was established. By 1820, large groups of Amish settlers started coming to the area, and in 1822, the post office arrived. Historical archives describe Berlin in 1833 as having 21 residential houses, two stores, two taverns, and a physician. The National Road, or the Cumberland Road, connecting Cumberland, Maryland to the Ohio River, was the first major improved highway in the U.S. built by the federal government. Built between 1811 and 1837, the road connected the Potomac and Ohio rivers and was a main pathway for settlers west. By the time the National Road was completed and Zane's Trace was improved enough for wagon travel south to Zanesville, Berlin was on the map as a thriving center of commerce. With easier travel, the supply wagons and shopkeepers helped to build Berlin, and the town began to grow. Machine shops, a foundry, dry goods stores, hotels, tailor shops, hat factories, blacksmith shops, a tannery, a chair factory, grist mills, sawmills, even a distillery were located there. An old photograph shows men laying concrete through the town as early as October 1915. Some of the old buildings still stand today in downtown Berlin, housing some of the village's shops. One of these buildings is the Pomerene House, the resident of Dr. Peter P. Pomerene, a distinguished surgeon who settled in Berlin in 1855. His son, Atlee, served two terms as a U.S. senator and was nominated for president in 1928. While Berlin struggled along with the rest of the nation through the Great Depression, by the mid-1940s, new homes and businesses were once again helping the town of Berlin thrive. New stores, improved roads, local events such as Pioneer Days, brought not only locals to town to shop, but tourists who came to see the area. Holmes County has always had outsiders who came to see and experience the Amish way of life, but tourism really picked up in the late 1980s. New restaurants, craft stores, furniture stores, lodging, as well as tourist destinations such as Heine's Cheese and Schrock's Amish Farm and Village began to draw in visitors by the busloads. Up until the pandemic, Berlin continued to draw in guests by the thousands. With precautions in place for the safety of businesses and tourists alike, we hope that once again many will be able to come to our area and enjoy all the unique and wonderful places and people that are found here. My guest today is Karen Lamp, owner of the Plaid Sheep Company. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. It's nice to be here with you.
Well, I'm delighted to have you on the podcast. You now own the Plaid Sheep Company, which is outside of town, but for many, many years you had a store in town, the Country Craft Cupboard, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and actually, it's really sort of right where we are right now, only we're way in the basement.
We are in the basement, but yes, I spent 34 years in this building.
That is crazy to think of. Now, how did you get started?
Well, actually, I'm a nurse, and I took a little bit of time off when we had three kids. Pretty close together and pretty young. And during that time, I took some painting classes because I've always loved art and working with my hands, being creative. So I took some painting classes, but at that time, there was no place to buy any supplies. We had to go to Canton or Columbus to get supplies. And I thought, I think we need that in our area, because that was back in 1984. And there were a few shops in Berlin at that time. People were starting to make handmade items to sell. But like I said, there was by fabric, but nothing for other kinds of crafts. So I talked my cousin into starting a business together. So in 1984, we started Country Craft Cupboard on the west side of town, across from the grade school.
Okay.
In what used to be the old chick hatchery.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I've only known you in this building.
No, we were there for 3 years, and then we needed a bigger place, so we started looking around, and this building was up for rent, And so we rented it for a year. Then it was up for sale. So then we bought it.
And you bought it.
And I was here for 34 years.
A mainstay on the main street.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in 2018, we moved out to Schrock's Heritage Village, sold this building and changed our name. And we're basically the same company, but in a under a new name and new location.
So do you still do the crafting and the art supplies and that kind of thing along with the quilting, or is it mainly just quilts?
It's a lot of quilts, a lot of crafting, not so much art supplies anymore. At one time, this other side of this building was completely full of painting, folk art painting supplies.
Oh, wow.
And then things kind of morph in the craft business. And then it evolved into stamping, card making, scrapbooking.
Yes, scrapbooking.
And where we're sitting now, this part of the building was renovated into a scrapbook nook and operated for a number of years here.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell. We knew it was an old store, but I didn't really know what was here. So
yeah, and upstairs here was my stitching house, which was completely full of counted cross stitch supplies.
Now I remember that. I remember that from the early 90s. Moved here,
right.
And I can remember shopping in there. That's as early as I can remember being in the store. But that's really interesting that it sort of morphed and kept changing, and now. Of course, you're in a brand new store that you built, and you're outside of town, but I'm sure you get just as much traffic.
We get a lot of traffic. I think I could safely say we're more of a destination now because we've been in business so long that, yeah, we get a lot of people that come just because they've known us for so many years. So when we were located on the west side of town, we were in just a small part of the building overlooking the grade school. One Saturday afternoon when I was working, we had a customer from Germany in, and we had two front windows that looked out on the street, and he just kept walking back and forth between those two windows, looking up at the school and the reunion going on, and he said, "Do you realize you have a national treasure here in these Amish?" And he was just blown away by the community and the closeness and everything, and that was before Berlin was even being known as a tourist destination. He just happened to be here and was really impressed.
Yeah, now your store, and originally when it started, was really before the tourists came here.
There was the quilt shop, Helping Hands was in town, and Yankee Workshop. And they were on the side street now, not where they were located at the last. But those were the only touristy shops in town. We were the third one to come in.
When do you think you started seeing like buses and tourism kind of build to that point?
Let's see, that was 84. We moved uptown in 87. It wasn't until in the 90s sometime, I don't think, till we really started seeing bus traffic.
I'm trying to think. I lived in Baltic for a number of years, and we had family near here, so we would come through town. But I don't remember the tourism to be much of anything till the later in the 90s.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, and then once it began to build, it really took off.
It really mushroomed.
Mm-hmm. It really did.
There used to be a big event in town called Pioneer Days. I don't know if you've
heard of that.
Oh, no. Every summer, I can't remember what month it was, but it was a big event up on the school grounds, and they brought in rides and what would be today as food trucks.
Right.
All kinds of events. So I think the 150th celebration was the last time the town celebrated the years it had been established. So in 1991 would have been the 175th year that Berlin was, and we're not incorporated, but was established as a village. So we decided, some of us on the merchant organization decided to do another celebration, kind of like, well, actually we had done one before. We did it out in the woods at the village. And then this one we did on the school grounds, like the old Pioneer Days, tried to recreate some of that.
Yeah.
In fact, Sue Mullett, who was local, she's passed away now, but she had written a script depicting the history of Berlin.
Really?
And it was reenacted out on the stage at Highland.
I see.
We have videos of that yet.
Yeah.
But she told the story of Berlin and how it got established.
That must have been a lot of fun.
It was. A lot of work, but a lot of fun.
You've brought a special treasure today, these old postcards of what Berlin looked like back in probably its very beginnings, it looks like. Some of the old buildings and the horses and the, of course, just fascinating.
Well, and when they first paved the streets in 1915, there's a postcard there of that.
I thought that was fascinating.
I had these done in 91 for the 175th celebration. There was a fellow in town named Oscar Miller, and he taught bookkeeping, I think, at Highland, but he was a meticulous record keeper. He had passed away, so I went to his widow and asked if she had any pictures. I figured she did, of old downtown Berlin, and she graciously let me borrow them. We had those postcards made from them.
I see. They're fascinating because the pictures are just...
Berlin's come a long ways.
I love history, and I love the stories of the area and how Berlin got started. And so it's fascinating to me to talk to people who've been here years and have experienced some of the changes because there has been a lot of change, hasn't
there? There's been a lot of changes.
What do you think is the biggest change in terms of tourism or the growth of the area?
Just the amount of people that are coming in. You know, some people complain about the traffic, but I think that's an asset to the community. It's provided a lot of jobs.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I don't know. It's all been good in my book.
For me, I appreciate having been able to experience working and living in this area and having that to offer. We have something to offer people, I feel like.
We do.
And to know that people can come here and get a taste and experience a little bit of our community and what that's like. And even we talk about the slower pace and we talk about the simple life. We talk about so many things here, but it's the community that really makes.
Right. And we hear that over and over and over again. It is so peaceful here. It is so quiet, and we feel so safe here, especially this last year. Mm-hmm. We feel so safe here. And people in my opinion, it's like an older way of life. People wish we could go back to sometimes, though we who live here think we're pretty high paced.
Yeah, we don't think there's anything slow about our life at all, right?
No, not at all.
And yet, I've often said when you get behind a buggy and you're forced to slow down, I appreciate that.
You look around.
You do. You look around.
See the beauty.
See the beauty, and it is a beautiful area. So it's the area, it's the people, certainly. It's the community. It's the unity that's here in the community and the willingness to help other people
work together,
or if someone has a need. I don't know of another community that just pulls together so strongly to take care of needs of other people, people they don't even know, but they know they're part of the community, and so everyone pitches in. And
that's
I think that's true in the Amish culture, and it's true in the culture at wide here. It's sort of in the DNA. It's in the foundation of who we are here.
That's how we're taught, how we're raised.
Yes.
And maybe I don't see it as much as a newcomer would to the area, because I was born and raised 2 miles from Berlin. My grandpa was Amish. Mm. My father was raised Amish, didn't stay with the Amish church. But, you know, that all, and there were 10 children in my father's family. Mm. So we had a community of relatives, and you just grow up loving each other and taking care of each other. And to us, who are raised here, it's kind of a way of life.
Yes.
But to somebody from out of the area, you know, it's maybe more of a novelty. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think it is, it's hard to find that now in other areas, at least in the sense of such a wide community. You know, there's such a large community of people living that way, that when you come to this area, you feel it, you experience it. It is like stepping back into time in some ways, stepping into a whole different world where people are different. It's a different culture, which of course is something that we can appreciate. You know, I love going to other places and stepping into other cultures, and there's something fascinating about that. There's something to learn from that. And so I feel like our visitors really do, when they come here, they experience that, and then they have a chance to maybe learn and grow from that. And we have a chance to learn from them. I think of how many people have come through your shop, both here and then outside of town where you are now at the Plaid Sheep, that come in and tell you they're visiting from, you've probably seen people from all over the world.
Oh, yeah. We just, a year or so ago, we had two gentlemen from Saudi Arabia. No, That was a few weeks ago. A couple of years ago, before we left this building, we had a husband and wife from Saudi Arabia. And they had been to a web convention in Chicago. And they asked where they could go in the U.S. to find a good community that was different. And in Chicago, they sent him here to Holmes County.
Wow.
She could not speak any English. He could speak a little. So we spent some time with him, just explaining things, showing him where they should go visit and whatever. And they were just astounded by the community. So it's heartwarming to be able to reach out to people like that.
Yeah, and fascinating to meet people from another culture.
Right.
I can remember at Heine's at one time we had a coffee shop and I managed that. And I wasn't a very good coffee barista. I'll admit that.
But I bet you did other things well.
But I kind of knew what I was doing. I tried to do the best I could. But we had a couple of Italian gentlemen come in. And one, the older man, the patriarch of the group that was there, didn't speak any English. And he wanted an espresso. And I was like almost sweating bullets thinking, I've got to make coffee for this Italian gentleman. I was really worried about it. But, you know, at the end, he couldn't speak any English, but he gave me a thumbs up.
Oh,
and he,
you it must know, have so been good.
It was okay, yeah. So, but I thoroughly enjoy those kinds of encounters with our visitors. Yeah, those interactions are wonderful. They're so, as you said, they're heartwarming, and you learn so much. I think it was his son and his nephew that were with him, and we talked about their visit here and what they were seeing and where they were from and what they were enjoying about what they were seeing in the area. So,
right.
It was a lot of fun to do that.
And I think when we were downtown here, we ran into this a lot more. Somebody would jaywalk or get hurt on the sidewalk or whatever.
Yeah.
We kept a first aid kit handy, and we were out on the street. And other stores do that as well. And I think that kindness that you show to the visitor pays itself back in a lot of ways.
It does. I think there's an isolation almost in our culture in some ways that's sort of come from the times we live in. I don't know. Maybe it just feels a little more dangerous. I mean, here there's a feeling of openness that you may not find everywhere.
Right.
So when someone does, someone you don't know comes and, talks to you or shows you kindness or some of those things, people notice that, I think, because they don't see it much in other areas.
We live by the golden rule here.
And because we're a community and we help one another out, it doesn't matter if you come from the outside in. You're here, you're part of our community.
You don't stop to ask, where are you from before I help you?
Yeah, it's all part of exactly how we were raised and what's in our DNA and how the community kind of works together. And, we're human. We're just like anywhere else. Nothing is ever perfect. But it does feel a little bit like a slice of heaven to me at times because it, say we're in a bubble, but that bubble is so pleasant and wonderful because of, I think, because of the people that live here, truly.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your shop. We haven't talked a whole lot about the plaid
shop. Okay.
So what, now I know you do a lot of quilting, and you get a lot of visitors who come in here, like for quilting, I don't want to say conventions, but really groups that come in here and quilt, don't you?
Right. Well, we do a lot of what we call retreats.
Okay.
Through our store, and Berlin Grand graciously hosts us. They're usually anywhere from 3 to 5 days, and you bring your, we call them UFOs, unfinished projects.
Okay.
Unfinished objects. And bring those, because if you know any quilters, they have a stash. And they joke constantly about their stash of fabric and threads and patterns and all this.
All the things they bought because they were going to do a project and then...
Yeah, and they pile up on the shelves. They're so excited when they see it, but they keep piling up and you don't get to them. So we offer these retreats where you come, bring those projects. We're there to help if you have questions. And we just have a good time together. And so early in the morning till late at night.
That sounds like an awful lot of fun. Bring your sewing machine and your projects and get it done.
And we're right there at Berlin Grand, and Farmstead is beside us.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. So we do that. We offer classes. Started last year with the pandemic to offer classes online.
Oh, okay.
So we do that. If you go to our website, you can see what classes we offer. And typically we'll do a video of the project we made with some showing how it was done. we give you access to that video, and we send you a kit for the
project.
Materials okay. needed to do mm-hmm. that. Yeah, so those are popular. We do a lot of online business as well. Do a weekly video showcasing new products in the store and get people excited about them.
Yeah.
Like, I need to go back today and do the video because we got some new fabric in. We get just about as excited as everybody else.
I have a couple of close friends that are quilters, and my sister as well, who fabric, boy, we just don't pass a fabric store
oh,
without
yeah.
going in.
You never know what you'll find.
Yep.
So check in 93, I also started doing my own pattern line.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called Backyard Friends. And I create wall hangings and table mats. And I love working with wool. Let me sidestep here. That's why we changed our name. We
okay.
started carrying a lot of wool in our store. Do a lot of wool applique and rug hooking with it. But we changed it to Plaid Sheep Company because plaid references all the homespuns. We have hand-woven homespuns.
Wow.
And they're woven on both sides. It's 100% cotton. Most of them are plaids and stripes, but we do a lot of raggy quilts, all kinds of things with the homespun. So that's where the plaid came from. And the sheep is from all the wool we sell.
All the wool. You know, my dad was actually got into cutting his own wool and hooking rugs.
Really?
Yes. And he did that for years and years. In fact, each of my children have a small rug, and I have a small rug. And he did some really large, almost they're almost like a tapestry. And they're beautiful. And
those are treasures.
They are treasures. And he would laugh and say, put them on the floor. We say, no, they're going on the wall.
Oh, no.
But he would just spend hours, and he would use whatever old clothing is how he got his wool.
Right.
And he had a little wool cutter, I mean, just five strips at a time, and that's what he would do all winter long.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, for years and years. So
that's great.
Kind of became his thing to keep his hands nimble and keep himself busy. And
I don't really care to do the hooking, we call it, but I love the wool applique. I love designing projects that incorporates that.
Well, I'm going to have to come to your store.
Well, you might need to.
I might need to. I used to come into here in town. I would pop in and out, but I haven't actually stopped in at your store since you built out there, and that's been a long time now.
Well, you know, we're all getting older. My employees are getting older as well, and here we had three levels, and our classroom was down in the basement, mm-hmm. and out there we're all on one level. We have a nice classroom, and we had sheep behind our store. We had a pasture and sheep.
Oh, really?
And we loved it. We helped Joanne get sheep for there, but now it's turning into a mini golf course.
Yeah, so the sheep are eating down the grass on the mini golf course.
Yeah, I guess.
No more sheep, but the plaid sheep is there.
Yeah,
so
we're still there.
Still there in a wonderful place, wonderful, I'm not even going to say addition to our community because it's an ongoing wonderful place.
Yeah, we've been here a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you are one of those roots that go down deep in the community, so we appreciate that.
Well, I enjoy what I do, or I wouldn't still be doing it. Elaine Fox from Yankee Workshop and I started the merchant organization then in 1988. So we jokingly say at our meetings that I'm the town historian because I'm the oldest one that has been on the board for 34 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Time for some new blood, maybe.
Well, yes and no, but I mean, I understand that, but also we treasure you and your wisdom and your experience because it brings so much to the table for us.
It's been such a pleasure to watch. You know, I've told you at the meetings how we started so small,
mm-hmm.
and now we've gotten a nice core of people and merchants.
Yeah.
A good found and that work together well.
Yeah, the Harvest Fest and some of these other things that the events that we're doing that benefit right. the community and those who have need. It's pretty amazing to watch people come together and that happen.
Right.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you.
Well, maybe you can come back and we can tell some more old stories.
I'll have to gather them up so I don't forget them.
Oh,
it's been a pleasure.
And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that for many years, the Amish used a locker service to freeze and store their meat, vegetables, and even fruit? Originally operating out of Boyden Werthmann's Market in downtown Berlin, the locker service continued to operate out of that building even when the market and restaurant moved down the street. Other towns had similar places for the Amish to rent out freezer space. In one nearby town, it was a building with a large walk-in freezer offering personal locker space to keep their food. A special quick freeze was offered for the food to freeze overnight, then placed in their personal lockers and kept at freezing temperatures. Today, some Amish still rent storage space with electricity for small chest freezers. And now you know.